Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better. NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. It is always a joy to talk to Mike Florio. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Morning, Mike.
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, we're still stinging over the various penalties that we've seen called. It's kind of ruining. I was telling David, I was doing some laundry, and I'm watching the game on Sunday, and I'm watching that Jets game, and there was like, whatever, six straight penalties. I finally just got up and walked away. I couldn't stand it. It drove me nuts. I could go back and watch it, don't worry, but it bothers you.
I don't have a problem with penalties being called if penalties are happening, right? I remember when John Gruden used to be in the booth, and he would come, I had too many penalties. Well, tell the players to quit grabbing face masks, and I mean, at some point, you have to throw the flag. Now, getting it right is the bigger issue, and that's the bigger problem coming out of Monday night's game, and I really do think as the owners convene in Fort Lauderdale for their quarterly meetings, the time has come to invest the money necessary to have an extra member of the crew who sees what we see at home, who can bridge the gap between the officials who are trying to merely survive among the gladiators with what the rest of us are now witnessing in crystal clear HD, 4K, whatever the latest technology is that I don't even know the name of yet. But we can see it so much better than ever before. They need to help the officials, not replay review. This is a member of the crew who has the same vantage point that we do, who is talking to the referee, saying, pick up a flag, drop a flag, etc. That's what they need to do, and they need to spend the money to do it.
How do you explain last night the two phantom calls on Trey Flowers that, in real time, obviously, things happen fast, but his hand never actually hit the neck or the face. So I don't understand how they got it wrong not once but twice.
You know, on the first one, there is a moment where Trey Flowers pops David Bakhtiari in the face mask, but I don't know that that's what drew the flag. And then near the end, you can see that Flowers has the hand at the top of the jersey and he kind of pushes. But, you know, I just wonder whether Bakhtiari does something with his own technique to draw that, to make it look like he's got a hand in his face when he doesn't. But those are bad calls. And that's where you could have the benefit of a sky judge who could have buzzed down to Cleet Blakeman, the referee, and say, yeah, I'm looking at this now, and I really don't see hand to the face. You probably should pick that flag up.
You don't want to have too knee-jerk a reaction to one game, but I was talking to a big-time NFL insider who told me that as he watched Houston and Watson against Mahomes and the Chiefs, he thought to himself, wow, you know, one guy is learning to play quarterback and the other guy is just throwing the ball with trick passes. And is it possible that Andy Reid, as much as he needs to run the ball, also needs to get back to coaching Mahomes to stay in the pocket, get his feet set, and throw a pass?
I think the problem is when Mahomes is not 100%, he has to be managed like a normal quarterback. That's when he needs to have his feet set and he needs to throw the ball the way that we have always been taught that quarterbacks need to throw the ball in order to be the most effective. It's only when he's 100% and he can run and do all those things where he's like a shortstop on a football field. But he's banged up and that ankle is a problem. And when that ankle is impairing him, that's when they have to reel him in. And, you know, whether it's that, whether it's trying to counter the defenses that they're now seeing, and I think it goes back to the AFC Championship game when Bill Belichick showed the rest of the league how to handle that defense. A lot of man coverage with maybe one deep safety that will shade toward a Tyreek Hill if he's in the game. But defenses have been able to slow them down. And we've seen this before with the Chiefs, where they start off strong and then they hit that pothole and they lose games and they can't get out of their own way. And then it's just holding on and hoping for a playoff spot, and we'll see which way they go. But I'm shocked that they lost two games at home, and they've got a showdown with the Packers coming up on a couple of Sundays from now. And we're going to learn a lot about whether the Chiefs can rebound from this.
Mike, Zach Brown found out the hard way that Kirk Cousins not the weak link of the Vikings offense. And then he found out the Eagles no longer had a job. They cut the linebacker. Any precedent for stuff like this? And I mean, because obviously you see guys mouthing off all the time. Rarely do you see them cut for what they say.
But there had to be more that had gone on in the past, and it's possible that they just weren't happy with Zach Brown. It's possible that he was responsible for some of the blown coverages on Sunday. There was that play where Stephon Diggs was wide open for a 50-plus yard touchdown pass on the left side of the field. If you look to the other side of the field, Olabisi Johnson is even wider open than Diggs was, and maybe there were some communication issues. I just have a feeling that this was more straw that breaks the camel's back than it was, how dare you say that dumb thing you said, you're out of a job. And I have a feeling Zach Brown was already in trouble before he said the dumb thing about Kirk Cousins.
The old joke was anybody within sneezing distance of Sean McVay would get an NFL coaching job, and now Sean McVay is struggling, and his quarterback is struggling, and people are wondering what's gone wrong with the Rams?
Well, and I think two things that happened on Sunday when Jared Goff was held to 78 yards. And I thought this is a typo. There's a one, there's a two, there's a three missing from this. It was 78 yards. And the offensive line was abysmal. The 49ers pass rush is great, but also not having Todd Gurley on the field, even though Todd Gurley is no longer the workhorse that he was 2 years ago when he was the NFL's offensive player of the year. The threat of Todd Gurley, I think, makes it easier for defenses to rush the passer and drop into coverage and focus on taking away the passing game. And it showed that performance by the 49ers defense. And, you know, what I like about the 49ers, offensively, it's Kyle Shanahan and his mad scientist experiment. Defensively, it's just a bunch of guys that remind John Lynch of himself. And look at how well they have gelled over the past few years and where they are right now. But I think that had a lot to do with what went wrong with the Rams. But that was a game they had to win, right? They had extra time to get ready. They played Thursday. The 49ers played Monday. And the Rams knew their backs were against the wall. And they're at home. And it felt like, it sounded like the 49ers fans had taken over the Coliseum. And now the Rams are 3-3, and in the NFC, with so many teams above 500 in the other divisions, especially in the NFC North, where every team is at or above 500, it's going to be hard to get in as a wild card if you don't win the division. It's going to be hard to win the division when the 49ers are 5-0 and the Seahawks are 5-1 in front of you.
Mike, the Bears' defense has come back to earth a little bit. The Chiefs' offense has struggled last couple of weeks, as we pointed out. What's the best unit in the NFL?
You know, probably the Patriots defense right now, probably, because their offense has been so sluggish and sputtery, and even with Tom Brady, but the defense has just clamped down on everyone. But you know what? We all want balance, and I'd say the most balanced team right now is without question the 49ers. What they're doing offensively, running the football, even with guys injured, and what they've done defensively. You know, we need to start taking this team seriously. At 5-0, they are on their way. And, you know, we keep waiting for the dip. I don't think the dip is coming anytime soon.
It's interesting that it's been the year of the backup quarterback, and there have been a lot of good performances, and no one better than Teddy Bridgewater, who's coming to Chicago. But when you look at guys like Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota and Jared Goff, these are all really highly drafted, well-compensated players that have kind of hit a wall in their career. Who do you like out of that bunch?
Well, boy, that's a good question. None of them. I mean, especially at the money that was involved. You know, Jared Goff is the guy who's already gotten his second contract, and you wonder whether for the second straight year the Rams are going to regret giving one of their key offensive players a huge contract. They surely regret the Todd Gurley deal, and maybe they'll regret the Goff deal. But, you know, I think that maybe Jameis Winston, you know, he's going to be good for one of those what-the-hell-is-he-doing games out of every five or six. I just don't think you can iron that out of him. even with Bruce Arians. But if Arians keeps working on him, maybe they can turn this thing around. Mariota got benched. I think Mariota's done. The one guy who has, I think, a chance next year is Winston, maybe on a short-term deal. Peter King pointed this out earlier today on PFT Live. Short-term bridge type of a contract while they figure out what they're going to do. Are they going to continue with Jameis Winston? Almost like the deal that the Jaguars tried to do with Blake Bortles, and they realized after one more year, nah, okay, we shouldn't have done the deal. Let's move on. I feel like something like that could work to keep Winston in Tampa, because it's not like there's going to be a land rush for Winston or Mariota if either is available after the season.
Has Kyle Allen been good enough for the Panthers to consider trading Cam Newton?
I don't know about trading Cam Newton. Look, because Kyle Allen could get injured at any moment. I think that if you're the Panthers, when Cam Newton is truly 100%, and he's got to prove it to me that he's 100%, because he was concealing the extent of his injury early this year, and he's probably getting antsy while he watches Kyle Allen win football games, and he may be trying to push himself back prematurely. Once he's 100%, because when he's 100%, he's better than Kyle Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Once he convinces me he's 100%, I put him on the field, and then I no longer worry about, oh, Cam might get injured, because I feel like they're always in that angst of, oh, we can't run him, he might get injured. Hey, if he gets injured, we got Kyle Allen. So let's go let this guy be 2015 Cam, Superman, and do what he can do, and whatever he can do, he does, and if he gets injured, we go back to Kyle Allen. And I think that's the best way to play it, because you've got him under contract this year, you've got him under contract next year, maybe you make a decision after this year what you're going to do, and they can always trade him after the season. I just think for now, It's better to have Cam Newton on the team than not on the team. And also on the fly during a season, I don't even know who would trade for Cam Newton. I don't know. I'd have to sit down and look at every depth chart and ask myself, is this team better by trading for Cam Newton, and would they give up what the Panthers would want for him? And maybe you trade him after the year, but for now, get him healthy, and once he's healthy, put him on the field, and then just go aggressively, because you no longer have to worry about what happens if Cam gets injured.
Mike, thank you. Always a joy. And we want to tell you that you're a great influence on us, because our producer, Dustin Rhodes, is now reading I Hear You Paint Houses. And I believe that's the first time he's read a non-sports book since graduate school.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah, you're making it happen in many ways. Thanks,
Mike.
I'm going to go pay my house.
Oh, my God.
Not that way. See ya.
All right, Mike. That's Mike Florio. What a good man.
Good stuff.
He's, how about that? Positive influence on Dustin.
Yeah. Hey, we'll take it.
Yeah. Recommending the Jimmy Hoffa book.
Wow. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.